Man, that first one flew by. Means we're having some fun here with you until 1 o'clock on 104.5 The Zone. Always appreciate the interaction that we get, and a lot more fun in store. Breaking news, as Jonathan Schaefer pointed out in his top of the hour update. We will get to that momentarily before Ryan McGee of ESPN and the SEC Network talks or joins us to talk about this Texas and Oklahoma breaking news that has come across the timeline. If you would like to get involved, we welcome your participation as always. 615-737-1045 is the number. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved. We're going to bang out a couple of these calls. Then I'm going to tell you what this breaking news is with Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC. Well, I guess Schaefer already told you. So we don't have to keep you waiting, but we will react to that momentarily. Let's start with Ricky in West End, who's been waiting patiently. What's up, Ricky?
Hey, guys. A quick question, because sure. I don't really know. The NFL policy, I know the college went a lot better. Is there a threshold for, like, where if they hit this percentage of players on the team, then you don't get tested, or you get tested a lot less?
You know, that is an excellent question. I'm pretty sure, I don't want to speak ignorantly, and I'll have to look that up for you, Ricky, because I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. But I do believe there is a threshold that they set for the players and for the organizations. I will find out that number for you specifically.
Because well, when you look for it, you can't find it because all you get is opinion pieces.
Oh, really?
No one gives you the number. You know,
that's because the opinion.
Everybody's giving me their opinion on the policy. But yeah, no giving me the numbers.
That's so classic internet. Thank you for that, Ricky. I appreciate that. So, I'll work to find that out from you. I'll send some texts and then I'll give you that information as soon as I hear back. But I appreciate the question, yeah. Rick.
So at 80%, so let's just go 80%. It seems like pretty much everybody's 80%. So let's just say 80% of the team gets vaccinated. You have two players who are unvaccinated who test positive for COVID. And then you have six players who are vaccinated who test positive. Is the game forfeited? Are you punishing the vaccinated players? Because we know the vaccine doesn't stop us from getting COVID. It just reduces the symptoms.
Correct.
Now, when you're 23 and fit and healthy, you have low symptoms anyway. So my whole point when I read this, and I'm vaccinated, I did, you know, my duty, but I am vaccinated. But I don't fault people who are saying, well, if you feel nervous about it, go get your vaccine. I'm not nervous about it. The common response back in the fall, when you said, well, these are young players, everybody said, well, what about the coaches? They're not young.
Yeah.
Well, the coaches can get the vaccine, or they can wear an N95 mask, which is widely available now. You have multiple choices. I think the NFL is really going to paint themselves in a corner here because they're selling the vaccine as 100% foolproof, and it's not. You can still get COVID with the vaccine. And I'm really curious if we're going to have an NC State situation where you're going to have two players on the team who weren't vaccinated. Your team hit the 80% threshold. And now you have to call the game and quote unquote forfeit and not pay these guys, even though they got the shot. And I haven't seen anybody really talk about that. And even if the team's 100% vaccinated, you can still get COVID. And then what is the NFL going to do? Because it's not about for the players, the risk of their health, because we've had a whole year we didn't have vaccines and we had no issues with any players in pretty much any sport. So they're painting themselves in a corner where I don't think they're thinking too far ahead because they're trying to get the, and I know the two previous callers ago was talking about the politics.
Right.
Well, this is political, whether we want it to be or not, it shouldn't be, but it is. And if you can't tell me the NFL is not trying to paint this, look how noble we are because our whole league is vaccinated. You can still get COVID. And I'm really curious to see because they don't, again, no one explains what happens when vaccinated players get the COVID too, because they can spread it.
Oh no, so, Ricky, you are spot on here. The NFL is not acting out of nobility. They are acting out of PR. They're acting out of optics. There is no question about that. And I appreciate that's one of the smartest calls we've ever had. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved. 615-737-1045 is the number. He is so spot on in that. You know why the NFL is painting themselves into a corner? Because they're not forward thinking on this. They are doing the thing that they think slaps the Band-Aid on it the quickest, and it does optically, because there are so few, and I wish there were more people like Ricky that are asking those kind of important questions.
Well, let's look at this slightly differently. How many games did they lose last year?
None.
Because they proved that we're going to have you play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So they're not expecting a forfeiture. They're not expecting a game to not be played because they'll reschedule it for any time to get it to be played. So what they're basically saying without saying is, we're going to be playing these games. We're sending this out there to use as a tactic to get as many people vaccinated as possible. So it's what's being said without being said.
Oh, no, you were so accurate when you said earlier that this is the nuclear option. This is not like first steps. This is when they hit. It's like I'm going to reach across the zone desk, and hopefully you don't hear my microphone creaking. But for those of you who are watching on Zone TV, okay, this is the dump button. All right, this button is how Schaefer has one too. We are holding this up to the camera if you're watching on Zone TV. Now, this is what happens if one of you cuss or if I cuss on accident, because sometimes that happens, or if one of our guests cuss, okay? This is how we save ourselves with this thing that looks like the nuclear codes, okay? This is what this kind of button is, what the NFL's forfeiture policy is. This is the nuclear codes for the NFL. This is how they cover as many bases as humanly possible because we shouldn't say when. What we should say is if it comes to this, this is the steps that the NFL is going to take. They played all 256 games last year. They played all of these games. There was no intention by the NFL. Now, what they're saying is they're not adding an additional week to this year like they were prepared to do last year. This is what they are. They are removing a week. Well, I guess in this year, it would be a week 19. Given that there's a 17-game regular season schedule, they are not willing to go to 19 weeks and further the regular season as they were prepared to do last year. This option, the forfeit option, is what is replacing the expanding of the NFL season. They are saying that these are the new measures that we will take in accordance with what our policies were last year. And the NFLPA, which the players are pissed about, echoed that sentiment. A lot of the players are pissed about it. I shouldn't speak for all of the players. They are not all like all of us. They are not in lockstep with one another. It's why there's so many problems for the NFL players with the NFLPA, because they are so divided amongst themselves. 615-737-1045. We'll get into this Texas and Oklahoma news momentarily. Ryan McGee of ESPN will join us coming up next. But let's go to Darrington first, who's always a great time. What's up, Darrington?
What's going on, Buck? I usually come and I joke with you, messing with you about Ryan Tannehill and stuff, but
yeah.
something hit my nerve today. You said that DeAndre Hopkins, I hear a lot of colleges, they're saying it was dumb and it was stupid. I mean no harm, but I kind of take offense to that.
Please.
And the only reason why I take offense to that is because in the black community, we're taught not to trust the government no matter what. Money you get. And I know it's going to be a weird angle.
Darrington, let me, and I want you to continue to make your point. This is not a weird angle at all. This is a completely legitimate angle. I live in North Nashville. I talk to my neighbors about this all the time.
Okay. So you understand what I'm...
100%.
Okay, so we look at it as the money we get, no matter any of that. So when it comes down to it, it seems like that for us, for it to trickle down and to have any type of meaning, we have to take drastic measures or drastic steps. We have to go something as dramatic as to say, hey, yeah, I will sit down playing football if you keep pestering me about doing something that I truly do not believe in. And it's not, and people will look at it, well, you got all this money, you can find out this and that. It's not about that. It's about the player that does not have that money, that we're standing in solidarity,
yes,
saying that, hey, I have your back. It's okay. I'm DeAndre Hopkins. I'm saying it's okay. I know you're the 30th man on the roster. You have that same opportunity, too. I will sit down. So, I mean, that's just how I look at it, Buck. I appreciate your time.
No, listen, Darrington, you are speaking for so many people. DeAndre Hopkins speaks for so many people. I'm not singling out the belief that DeAndre Hopkins is expressing, because I know this about a lot of my colleagues in sports media from the African-American community who are hesitant about vaccines, rightfully so. There are so many people that have expressed that belief. Now, in my neighborhood, that is talked about a great deal. Now, if you live in Nashville, if you are somebody who lives in Nashville, you know that North Nashville is an underserved community by any stretch of the imagination. People like me are moving in there because there's cheap real estate to develop and it's being gentrified in a hurry. But the people who have been there for 60 and 70 years, my neighbors express these same concerns when we have these same conversations. Many players who come from similar situations are expressing these concerns. DeAndre Hopkins is speaking for a large percentage of the workforce in the NFL, the African-American community in the NFL. I'm not disputing DeAndre Hopkins' opinion. I'm looking at DeAndre Hopkins as somebody who is in a circumstance, who is able to take these things into his own hands in a way that many of the people that he speaks for are not. And I'm saying to DeAndre Hopkins, if you are going to speak for so many people, instead look at the things that are available to you that are not available to others, and then go forward with your opinion. That's all I'm asking him to consider, and people who are thinking like that. Because Darrington is so spot on about that. It's, again, a perspective that I myself do not have. It's why it's important to have these conversations. But another important conversation that we are getting ready to have coming up next is about the changing of, the entire world of college football is changing before our very eyes. And it's not starting with Texas and Oklahoma moving to the SEC, but it's going to be a big portion of it. We'll get into that with Ryan McGee of ESPN and the SEC Network coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. We're having ourselves a day here on 104.5 The Zone. Man, I hope you are too. You should be. It's Friday, people. Full send into the weekend, as is our weekly custom. We're looking forward to having Ryan McGee from ESPN and the SEC Network join the show momentarily and get into this Texas and Oklahoma conversation. Now, what you heard from Schaefer at the top of the hour that is being reported by Horns247. Source: Texas and Oklahoma, the founding members of the Big 12, are leaving the league. Texas and Oklahoma, as the article's title points out, the founding members of the Big 12 are leaving the Big 12. And barring any unforeseen developments, will join the Southeastern Conference. This according to a high-level source close to the situation that is told Horns247. Texas and OU officials plan to inform the Big 12 on Monday that they won't renew the league's grant of rights that expire in 2025, a step that clears the path for the SEC to formally consider adding Texas and Oklahoma. Now remember, there still has to be a vote among the institutions to be able to add this, but at this point, it seems like this is going to go right through. I think there are so many interesting angles to the addition of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. This is something that by the way, to leave earlier than 2025, this is good context from the article, Texas and Oklahoma would be contractually bound to give up their four remaining years of Big 12 television revenue, which would nearly total $160 million each based on 2019's $37.7 million payout per school. Although such situations in the past have been settled in court to allow both sides to move on. Again, from horns247.com, the latest: Texas and Oklahoma, the founding members of the Big 12, are leaving the league. We welcome in Ryan McGee from ESPN and the SEC Network, who has been, I'm sure, talking about this at great length, as all of us in the world of college football have been. Ryan, I appreciate you stopping by, brother.
Yeah, I've left Hoover and I got to Charlotte, and usually that means that you can kind of chill for a little bit of time, and that has not been the case.
Sure as hell not. This is the biggest story in the college football offseason, I would have to imagine. Was it?
It's the biggest story in a long time. So it's crazy.
So we were talking yesterday with Chris Childers of SiriusXM, and basically Chris's message on this was the college football as we know it is changing. College football with NIL in the summer that we've just had is basically and moving towards the direction of looking unlike anything that we have seen in the sport. Do you think that that Texas and Oklahoma is just exacerbating this idea that we will soon see super conferences in this sport?
Yeah, and I've said that all along. I wrote a story for ESPN the magazine, which automatically dates any story because the magazine doesn't exist anymore.
That's
and,
all right.
And I wrote it. But my point when I say that is that I've been saying this is coming for a long time because you know the Power Five conferences run everything anyway. And then there are certain Power Five conferences that are running things, and the other Power Five conferences are just on for the ride. And that was never going to work long term. And so, yeah, I have always said at some point we were going to end up with, you know, a power four, and somebody was going to disappear. And the question was, who was it going to be? And you know, how I remember when we were all saying that the ACC was going to be absorbed by the Big East. And while we were saying that, John Swofford, the just recently retired commissioner of the ACC, was just nuking the Big East, and we didn't know it.
Yeah.
And was taking, you know, all the teams. And so at the end of the day, there were always really, you know, four Power Five conferences, and everybody likes to knock the Pac-12. The reality is they own everything west of the Mississippi or west of the Rockies. And so they're in a position of power, no matter how badly it's been run or no matter how little revenue they've put together. And so now, you know, the question is, when is it going to stop? And it's just everybody in the Big 12 is a free agent now. I just feel like they are. And so it's just a question of where they're going to end up and how many teams are going to be in these conferences. But, you know, hey, big surprise, the conference that kind of slapped together a championship game. I'm talking about the Big 12,
right?
The conference that calls itself the Big 12 and had 10 teams. I mean, it was never going to work. And now, as we've learned, it's not worked a little bit quicker than we thought it wasn't going to work.
I mean, we were talking to Dawn Davenport, who hosts the afternoon show here on the station. And she said, as soon as the news came out, 95% chance this is already done. Like at this point.
Oh yeah. Well, and that's the thing. And props to the Houston Chronicle for dropping the story. And so you mentioned Dawn. It's funny. I was talking to her, I guess it was Tuesday night. And the next day when the story dropped, you know, Marty McGee, we're recording our coaches specials, you know, for SEC Network.
Right.
And our studio was right off of Radio Row. And this year was very quiet. You know, it just, the fans were in the lobby and everybody was just, you know, Radio Row was just, everybody was just kind of so happy to be there. It was very chill. And you had to leave our studio and walk across Radio Row to get to the bathroom. So eight times a day, you know, I'm walking across Radio Row. And usually it's very quiet. And then all of a sudden in the middle of that day, I'm walking to the bathroom and I look and I said, it looked like the food fight scene from Blazing Saddles. I mean, it was crazy. And everybody was, ah, bah, 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 bah. So we went from a very chill, everybody's happy to be here, SEC Media Days, to complete and total chaos.
Does this work to the detriment or the benefit of the sport of college football?
Well, I mean, we get Texas A&M back.
Right.
Which I thought was if you had to list the 10 things that the sport's been missing, you know, for the last decade and a half, that was it. And you know, Jimbo Fisher, you know, I was out in College Station just a couple weeks ago, and I just asked Jimbo Fisher point blank. I go, come on, man. I said, you know, when are y'all going to bring the game back? Well, we don't need the game. We don't need the game. You know, we've moved on without them. And you know, they need the game more than we do and all that stuff. And you know, I wish his media availability had been one day later this past week, because I would ask him that question. I'm going to ask him that question again anyway. But I'm trying to put a positive spin on it. I think that, you know, we're going to get back Texas A&M, and we get to keep Oklahoma, Texas, which are the two biggest games in the Big 12. But, you know, TCU and Baylor and, you know, these teams, they've all been playing each other for Texas Tech. They've been playing Texas for 100 years. They've been playing Oklahoma for 100 years. And, you know, I get that this is what you should do. And I don't know that it's the best thing for college football, just simply because anything that erodes tradition, I have a huge problem with. And anything that makes the sport lean further into just becoming NFL light, I have a big problem with. That's why I hate the 12-team playoff. You know, make it 8 or make it 16. When you're giving teams buys, you might as well be the NFL. And so that's what I worry about. So I just worry about when are you sacrificing tradition? Because the good news is you get Texas, Texas A&M back. You know, the bad news is, you know, I don't know if anybody's staying up all night to get their Oklahoma Vanderbilt tickets.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're so spot on, and you know this as well as anybody who lives in this part of the country in the Southeast, that tradition is what makes this sport so special. It's why people gravitate to it. It has such a cult following. It's why it's so tribal in the SEC. But, I mean, the way that I look at this, and throughout the course of COVID and playing college football through COVID, as important as it was for the psyche of sports fans and for people to be able to just have some kind of relief, some kind of entertainment. Like, I thought as soon as we moved forward with that kind of thing, Ryan, that the greed was just laid so bare that they would have no problem stripping further traditions and things away if it meant the money at the top of the mountain. It was the way to move forward. Am I off base on that?
No, you're right. And you know, what I always go back to is, like, I was born and raised in the Carolinas. Like, I live in Charlotte now. I grew up in Raleigh. You know, I grew up on Tobacco Road. And, you know, the sense you get of, like, ACC basketball now is that everybody's just kind of tolerates, you know, a Boston College Duke game.
Right.
Or whatever. Just to get back to Duke and Carolina, or NC State and Wake Forest, or you know, or you know, Clemson and Virginia. I mean, you know, I think that's what you'll run into. I mean, the cool thing is, I mean, listen, man, you're talking about Alabama going to Norman, right?
Right.
And you're talking about, again, Texas A&M coming back, or you're talking about, you know, Georgia going into Austin. I mean, come on now, that's awesome. But if you live in the southwestern United States, and I think the Texas A&M fans, if they're being honest with you, will tell you this about their them joining the SEC was the best thing that ever happened. I was listening to some radio stations yesterday, and guys were trying to convince me that was a bad move for A&M. Not a chance.
No.
Not a chance it was a bad move for A&M. But the old school fans and the generation coming up now, you know, there's a part of them that misses, you know, southwestern football. And I think that ultimately will be the worst byproduct of this, is the loss of what we call southwestern football. You know, we'll have Arkansas and we'll have Oklahoma and we'll have Texas A&M and Texas. But you know, there's a big chunk of teams now that are going to have to go find somebody else to play.
Ryan McGee of ESPN and the SEC Network here with us on 104.5 The Zone. We're talking about SEC adding potentially and seemingly inevitably Texas and Oklahoma to the fold and what it's doing to college football. With SEC Media Days, Greg Sankey obviously was not, I mean, he handled himself about as well as he could in those particular situations, but the commissioner of the league was caught up in the middle of Radio Row while this news was breaking. I guess, what did you make of his non-answers to what he described, at least on our radio station, when he did join Dawn and them on 3HL, as unknown sources at this point reporting on something that he wasn't prepared to comment on outside of the season? What did you make of the way that the commissioner handled the situation?
I hadn't heard a no yet.
Yeah.
Hadn't heard a denial yet. And you know, and we all on every SEC network show talked about it very openly. And I'll say this too, when you work for SEC Network, I think people think that you're constantly receiving phone calls. You can't talk about this. Don't talk about that. You can't talk about that. I've been with SEC Network literally since the night it launched, and no one's ever done that to me. But I'll say this, the SEC office was right next door to the SEC Network office, and never at any time did anyone come across the hallway and go, hey, man, y'all probably shouldn't talk about this at all.
Right.
And so, again, that to me, it's a lack of a denial. It's, you know, there were no no's. And so I think that's probably all you need to know.
Well, and so not even a lack of trying or shutting it down. But the next morning I turned on SEC this morning before the media days got started, and they had the four-pod, four-team proposal ready to go.
Peter Burns. Yeah. I told Peter Burns, I go. So they announced Peter Burns' new contract like on Tuesday, and on Thursday he's laying out the way he would do the conference with Texas, Oklahoma. I go, man, you're pretty confident in a new contract.
feeling good, no doubt about it. I mean, he should. He's one of the best in the business.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, no. He was great. And honestly, too, and what he laid out made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It made a lot of sense. But it was also complicated, you know. And that's my other thing, too, is that I just worry about it. And this is coming from a guy who's covered NASCAR. I've covered NASCAR my entire career. And NASCAR has always specialized in making stuff too complicated in the name of modernization. And so, to me, there's a cautionary tale there. You just don't make it too complicated. And again, that's what we're talking about. But that's why I go back to the 12-team playoff. You're making it too complicated. You know, make it divisible by four. It's very easy to follow. You know, when you start making things too complicated, that's when people will go find something else to watch. And because people don't like math. And so, you know, if there's a plan for bringing them in. And you know this is how it's all going to work, great. But if we're just winging it to bring in two teams, and I think we all know Greg Sankey well enough to know that he don't wing anything. When we finally know everything, and it sounds like we're going to know it all a lot sooner than we thought, it's going to be really fascinating.
Math and sports do not mix. This is something that we're all.
That's why I'm a sports writer. Hey. Why I'm a sports writer, man. I can do. 6+1+3, you know, is a touchdown, extra point, field goal. Past that, I'm really terrible at math.
Oh, my God, and imagine what us in sports talk radio have to do. I'm struggling hard enough with the NFL adding a 17th game every time I try to do a schedule conversation.
No, hey, it's why we have an army of people at ESPN, at Stats and Information, that do all that is hand me sheets of paper, and I read them.
at ESPN McGee is where you can follow our guest, Ryan McGee. So going back to Commissioner Sankey, at the open of SEC Media Days, he laid out the policy that the league would have moving forward, and not one that the Big 12, you know, what I guess used to be the Big 12, had already expressed in previous conferences before that they would basically put the forfeit policy into place if teams, due to COVID, are not able to field competitive rosters. Were you surprised that the SEC took that hard line of a stance?
Nope. Get your shots.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Get your shots. This is a zero sum game. But brother, I was at the College World Series.
Yes.
And I call it the NC State effect. And you know, and I sat there. Kirby Smart. We asked every single coach, all 14, as they went through and talked to us on the Marty McGee set this past week. And Kirby Smart had the best answer. And I said to him, I started to ask about vaccinations. And he interrupted me. He goes, "Well, you were in Omaha." He goes, "McGee, you saw it."
Yeah.
And he said, you know, regardless of what you're, you know, what if you think people get microchips put in their brain or whatever, it's a competitive advantage to get the shots. The policy is what it is. And now the policy is even thicker than it was because of what the conferences are saying. And so it's as simple as that. I mean, you know, and I understand that with 13 of the 14 SEC schools are state operated. And so it's very, very complicated. You can't just walk in. Nick Saban can't just walk in and say everyone has to have a shot. He can't because the school isn't mandating it. The state certainly isn't mandating it. And so what he can do is, and what they're all doing is they're bringing in doctors and they're educating these guys. And they're doing it because, A, they want their kids to be healthy. But, B, you only get tested like once.
Right.
That's it. Listen, Texas, not exactly the stronghold of vaccinations in America. You know, the University of Texas showed up in Omaha. Everybody on the team was vaccinated. They got tested when they got on the plane, and they got tested when they arrived. They weren't tested again. That's a competitive advantage. You think Nick Saban is going to lose a chance to win another national championship because a third-string defensive tackle refuses to get his shots? Not a chance. So that's what the league is saying, is there's no wiggle room, and that's how it should be because it's just – It is a competitive advantage if you are a football team for everyone to be vaccinated. And that's, you know, even no matter how you feel about the politics of COVID, if you like winning football games, that's a pretty good way to go about it.
It's crazy how people don't understand that when the NFL lights the internet on fire yesterday with the exact same message in terms of competitive advantage.
Yeah. Hey, and you talk about a hot mess. when the NFL guys get into camp, it's just going to be a disaster. But listen here, TikTok, man, it takes 7 weeks.
Yeah.
And you know, we're at that point now where you either get it or you know, You get your first shot, and then you get your second shot. And if, unless you're going Johnson & Johnson, it takes 7 weeks for this thing to cycle through. So you better get on it right now if you want to play ball.
And it sounds like most people are following that edict. Well, lack of an edict, I guess, from the NFL and the NCAA and its associated institutions. Ryan McGee at ESPN McGee is where you can follow him. You can see him. You can read him all over ESPN. He and Marty Smith are absolutely crushing it on the SEC Network. Marty and McGee, one of the best programs out there. It was so nice to be able to catch up for the first time, Ryan. Thanks for making us smarter.
Yeah, man, no sweat. And tell everybody, I may or may not have been at the hotel bar with some of your coworkers the other night. I hope they're okay.
Of that, I'm quite certain. But it's not them I'm worried about. Thanks. Take care, Ryan. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, man.
Oh, man, there's a lot of good information there. It's why we like Ryan McGee is so good at his job and does such exceptional reporting throughout the world of college football. One of the brightest, even if he's not willing to admit it, he's one of the brightest minds in the sport on our lowly media vulture side of things.
Well, not only that, the breadth of everything that he can cover. Loves doing the College World Series, did a book, NASCAR, preeminent writer in NASCAR, college football, guy can do it all.
The NC State effect. That is how the sports world is looking at this. You heard it from Ryan McGee himself. We'll continue this discussion coming up next. 615-737-1045. If you want to react to anything that you just heard, I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Hope everybody's having as much fun as we are today. Schaefer's harassing me as we're coming back.
Oh, but that makes no difference than any other day.
No, but I mean, should we tell the people why?
No.
No. I don't care.
Well, it's up to you. It's your show.
I know, but I like feedback.
Named after Buck Rising.
Well, listen, I didn't argue for that. I did. I, in fact, they fought me on that for a while because that drives me crazy.
Oh, you knew what I suggested, right, for the name of the show?
Remind me.
Listen to me.
Just listen to me with Buck Rising.
That is what I suggested.
All of you, listen to me, damn it. 615-737-1045.
Because you join us on the morning show, and we would be on some topic and just making fun of you, as we always do. And then you would just stop everything by going, listen to me.
Just listen to me, damn it. It makes me very happy. No, I wanted Wake and Take, but they wouldn't. And listen, I understand for branding purposes, and if, God forbid, we break any news on the show, that it's credited to the Buck Rising show on 104.5 The Zone. Like, I get why that makes the most sense. But I wanted it to be called Wake and Take.
My second idea was just Buck. That's it.
Buck you.
Like Bull on CBS, just Buck.
Yeah, because that would make me any more obnoxious than I already am.
You don't need any help?
Nope. 615-737-1045. Cousin Andrew, I'm certain, sometimes thinks I'm obnoxious. He's in Portland. He wants to chat. What's up, Andrew?
Well, I actually like that you led me in that way, because I was going to say, Buck, you know, as much as you pollute these airways, you have your own show, you call in everybody else's show, you have podcasts, we can't get away from you, but it's a good thing we love you. On this vaccine thing, I'm not going to go after a person specifically. It's their choice if they want to get it or not.
Of course.
I'm more concerned with the NFL's, I guess, for lack of better words, policy here. I know they're a private business, so they can pretty much do what they want to, but they're tiptoeing if they're forcing without saying, I force you to get a shot. They're kind of tiptoeing here because, you know, whether people agree with it or not, you know, there is religious beliefs behind not getting the shot. Mm-hmm. And there's also, you know, their own personal health behind not getting the shot. I know that the NFL can say, hey, you know, we're going to fine you for taking a performance-enhancing drug. That's something they're putting into their body, not something that they're refusing to put into their body. It's a sticky situation all around. I don't think there's a right or wrong way, but it's definitely something where people need to stop being so damn stubborn, excuse my language, and just listen. Just have a conversation. There's nothing unhealthy about conversing about something like this. So I hope y'all have a good weekend, boys, and I'm going to jump off here.
Hey, thanks, Andrew. 615-737-1045. That was kind of, I mean, I obviously went scorched earth earlier in the show, and I had some passionate opinions about it. But ultimately, I think Schaefer, and we didn't talk about this before the show because mostly I was really, really late, and we didn't have the chance to talk about this.
I was a little busy.
Yeah, well, that too. But, you know, at least normally I like to give us at least 10 minutes of reflection time when we are going to stick our face into a buzzsaw like today is.
I do need my Buck time.
Well, you get 3 hours of it, Monday through Friday, and wherever you get your podcast. But Andrew is correct. That's the objective that I wanted to come into today's show with, is we're just gonna talk through it together. I'm not gonna yell at people who I disagree with. I'm not going, even though I yelled at DeAndre Hopkins, so maybe I'm going to do a little bit of yelling. But, you know, self-aware yelling, right? I'm not going to, when people call in with opinions on this, we are not going to shout them down. I am diametrically opposed to that unless, you know, such reasons call for it as it did on the primetime show last night. But there are, of course, people, and I think I've said this plenty of times. In fact, I hope I've said it plenty of times. And if not, that's a mistake on my part. Of course, people need to make their own decisions and have the right to choose whether this is the correct path forward for them, for health reasons, for religious reasons. They are all of the reasons that all of us get to choose, make choices in our lives about anything. But also, there are consequences associated with that. I'm not saying what the NFL did is right. I'm saying the NFL did what it did to cover its ass. The NFL did what it did because it can.
Well, let's just frame this a little bit. It's not that it's right that they did it, but they have the right to do it.
Yes, 100%. There are players who are going to be absolutely livid if they don't get paid for a week because of the situation that happens. There are going to be coaches who are pissed if something like this happens and it takes away their competitive advantage. If they made the vaccine a 15-yard penalty, every coach in the NFL fears the 15-yard penalty more than fear itself.
Well, the sneaky part about it is that not only would your team lose a game check, the other team does.
Yes.
You want to talk about ramping up the peer pressure. So if you look at the NFL and go, wow, that's pretty conniving doing that, yeah, you're more than within your right to say that.
And since when has the NFL not been conniving?
Exactly, yeah.
Who is shocked by this? I guess that's my larger point. I'm surprised with how many people are surprised. I don't understand how people don't understand.
Yeah, because I read it yesterday and went, all right, that looks about right in terms of what we would expect for the next action.
You know what broke it up a little bit for me? And if you want to jump in, 615-737-1045. You know what? After sticking my face in just an acid bath of internet yesterday, that's exactly what it was. The internet was a cesspool unlike any other. We talk about the Twitter sewers. I mean, this was raw Twitter sewage that was being poured out onto the internet for everybody to bathe in. That's exactly what I did for the better part of an afternoon. And then after all of the stress and the strife and all of the fighting and the gnashing of teeth and the wailing that took place on social media because the NFL did a thing, I was scrolling through my Twitter timeline. I'm looking at DeAndre Hopkins tweeting freedom in a way that just makes me laugh out loud. I'm looking at guys. I guess he's a player for the Bills, Jonathan Feliciano, who's tweeting, it's been proven that COVID was made in the lab. Fauci also part of Pfizer. That's why people don't want to get the vaccine. Sad to come to the realization that you cannot trust the government. Don't shoot the messenger. Basically calling us all sheep. And then I get to AJ Brown on Twitter, who's tweeting out, do you know what 50 Cent did when he got hungry? And he just tweets out the number 58. I needed that in such a bad way yesterday.
Julio!
God bless AJ Brown. 615-737-1045. Michael is in Clarksville. He wants to talk about this topic. What's up, Michael?
Hey, I got one comment. Isn't borderline making somebody do something and then treating somebody that don't do it, isn't that discrimination?
It could be considered, and you would have plenty of lawyers who would argue that.
And, you know, that would open up the NFL to lawsuits from the players.
Listen, the NFL is taking what they believe, and you're spot on, Michael. I appreciate the call. 615-737-1045. The NFL is taking the approach that most protects them. From a legal standpoint, you know, the NFL has an army of lawyers. An army of lawyers. It's America's biggest sport. They are going to protect themselves from as many different things as humanly possible in one fell swoop. This is the move now. It doesn't mean that people can't try and sue the NFL. But the NFL is taking this approach because they feel that they are protected in the most amount of ways by putting a statement together like this. It may be bullying. It may be peer pressure. It may be discrimination. But the NFL is prepared to argue that in court and believes that it would win any suits brought against it. 615-737-1045. We're going to break things up a little bit because we will have Coach Mack on, Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio. And we will ask him a question about this, but mostly we're going to be talking about training camp. Because training camp is, I mean, it's so close I can smell the B.O. The B.O., the sweat, and the fresh-cut grass. Baby, I am ready to be out on the practice field at St. Thomas Sports Park. What are you making a face like you smell something bad, Jay?
B.O.'s just you.
Well, no, I smell great. I go to great efforts to make sure that I smell great.
Well, you make sure to tell us.
615-737-1045. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone.